everyone this morning. It's now time for our Bible reading. It can be found in the book of Matthew, chapter 8, and we'll be reading from verse 5 to 13. So it's Matthew chapter 8, reading from verse 5. Now when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said to him, "I will come and heal him." The centurion answered and said, "Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed. For I also am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, "Assuredly I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west, and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast down into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." And Jesus said to the centurion, "Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done." And his servant was healed that same hour.
Amen. Amen.
Church.
Good morning.
We say welcome to you to the Blessed Church of Christ. This Lord's Day, as was mentioned earlier, this is the last Lord's Day of 2024, our 52nd Lord's Day for this year. And we thank God for his grace, for his mercy, his love, his kindness, his compassion, and also his long suffering towards us. He did not have to, but he woke us up this morning, set us in our right mind, gave us strength in our limbs, and gave us the privilege and opportunity to come to offer ourselves and worship to him, the true and the living God. God does not need us, but we need him more than ever before. God is the great God of heaven who does all things and all things well. He shines brighter than the sun in heaven, and there is no light that can overwhelm him, for he is God, and he is God all by himself. We say welcome to you if you're visiting with us for the first time or the 101st time. The Church of Christ in Leicester extends its warmest welcome to you. We want to invite and encourage you to come back as often as you can, and it will surely be a warm Christian welcome awaits you here. Well, the Bible says in Romans 16:16, "Salute one another with a holy kiss. The Church of Christ salutes you." And as often as I come to speak, and I consider the privilege and opportunity, privilege and honor to be able to stand before God's people on the Lord's Day, we want you to know that you should not accept anything from this pulpit or any pulpit unless you can get a "Thus saith the Lord." Well, Jesus himself said in John chapter 12 and verse number 48, "He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day." That suggests to me that you will not be able to stand before the Lord in judgment to say, "I felt, I feel, I found, someone else told me, I heard it from somewhere," unless you can get book, chapter, and verse. If you have a Bible question, I will do my best to give you a Bible answer. There was a time when members of the Churches of Christ were known as walking Bibles, and we have the world needs more than ever before to hear a word of the Lord. We must study our Bibles to be able to give people a Bible answer. It is not good enough for us to guess things. The Bible says in 1 Peter 3:15, "Sanctify the Lord God in your heart, and you'll bring always to give a reason for the hope that is within you in meekness and fear." We must be able to give people a word from the Lord. In our scripture text in Matthew chapter 8, if you meet me there, Matthew chapter 8, and meet me at verse number 5. Matthew chapter 8, and beginning in verse number 5, I thank you, Brother Kevin, for the Bible Bible reading, and we're reading once again as we set the foundation for our final sermon for 2025. Matthew chapter 8, verse number 5, I'll be reading from the New King James Version. The Bible says, "Now when Jesus entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, 'Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed, dreadfully tormented.' He said to him, 'I will come and heal him.' The centurion, verse 8, answered and said, 'Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. For I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me, and I say to this one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it.' And Jesus heard it. He marveled and said to those who followed him, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. And I say to you that many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the sons of the kingdom will be cast out into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth.' And Jesus said to the centurion, 'Go your way, and as you have believed, so let it be done for you.' And his servant was healed that same hour." Matthew chapter 8, verses 5 through 13. The sermon title is entitled, "Only Speak a Word." Only speak a word. A good man's plea. A good man's plea. This scripture text is found centered in what we is commonly referred to as the Sermon on the Mount. The Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 to chapter 7, and then Jesus spoke these miracles or these miraculous deeds that Jesus did in Matthew chapter 8. In the preceding verses, Jesus had just cleansed the leper, and now this man, the centurion, comes to Jesus. But what was a centurion? The account of this centurion is a very extraordinary one, in that centurions were the very backbone of the Roman army. Leicester, the city of Leicester, is a Roman city. As such, in a Roman legion, there were approximately 6,000 men. The legion was then divided into 60 centuries, each containing 100 men, hence a centurion was in charge of 100 men. And in command of each century, there was a centurion. These men were responsible for the discipline of the regiment, and they were the seamen that held the army together. It is interesting to note that every centurion mentioned in the New Testament is mentioned in honor. There was a centurion who recognized Jesus on the cross as the Son of God in Matthew chapter 27 and verse 54. There was Cornelius in Acts chapter 10, verse number 22, the first Gentile convert to the Christian church. And there was a centurion who suddenly discovered that Paul was not a Roman citizen and received him from the fury of the righteous mob in Acts chapter 22 and verse 26. There was also the centurion who was informed that Jews planned to murder Paul between Jerusalem and Caesarea, and he took steps to further plans in Acts chapter 23 and verse number 17. But there was something special about this centurion at Capernaum here in Matthew chapter 8. And that was his attitude towards his servant. This servant would have been a slave, but the centurion was grieved that his servant was ill and was determined to do everything in his power to save him. The scripture text says in Matthew chapter 8, and verse number 5, that Jesus entered the city of Capernaum, and the centurion came to him, pleading with him, saying, "Lord, my servant is lying at him paralyzed, dreadfully tormented." This man, the centurion, was a Gentile, and his servant most likely was a Jew. Quite extraordinary and unusual. There was the reverse of noble master-slave relationship, the lesser serving the greater, not the other way around. And in the Roman Empire, slaves did not matter. If they suffered or wherever they lived or died, their slave was considered to be better, no better than a thing to possess like furniture. This centurion was extraordinary in Matthew chapter 8, for he loved his slave, which is clear why he is coming to Jesus in person to plead for his paralyzed servant. And Jesus was moved by this man's unusual love for his servant. Love always, the Bible says, covers a multitude of sins. And in 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 8, we also read about this same centurion over in Luke chapter 7, I believe, which says that this centurion was a noble man and that he had built a synagogue for the Jews. Well, what benefit would this centurion have in building a house of worship for Jews who he himself would not even go in to worship himself? And so here we see the path full of faith. Not only was the centurion quite extraordinary in his attitude towards his servant, but he was also a man of extraordinary faith and humility. Faith and humility. He pleaded for Jesus to heal his servant, who was, again, the text says, was paralyzed. But there was one problem. There was one problem here. Perhaps you figured it out yourself, that this man was a Gentile. He had no relationship with Jesus. Jesus had no obligation to hear him, to respond to him. That suggests to me, you know, sometimes the people on the outside have more faith than those on the inside. The people in the world sometimes have more faith than we who call ourselves Christians, who should have a relationship with God. But here was a man who approached Jesus. And Jesus was a Jew, and according to Jewish law, a Jew could not enter a Gentile home. Did you know that? For they were considered unclean, like the leper. And Jesus' response, in verse number 7, says, I will come and heal you. I will come and heal you. That may not be extraordinary to you, but you know Jesus will show up in the most unlikely place, at the most unlikely time, and under the most unlikely circumstances. We ought not to count God to come Jesus up. Can Jesus stop the war in the Ukraine? Can Jesus stop the assault on innocent men, women, boys, and girls around the world? Can Jesus bring peace in your home, in your marriage, in the church? Yes, he can. Yes, he can. Because the Bible says that with God, all things are possible. And I believe that this Gentile, this centurion understood that. But do we understand that? And so the centurion understood man's law. We notice that in verse number 8, the centurion asked and said, Lord, I am not worthy that you should come under my roof, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Not might be, not could be. He said, my servant will be healed. Don't bother yourself on roots to come. He said, his friend said, listen, don't even waste your time. Lord, I'm not even worried that you could even come into my house, but only speak a word. We serve a God who brought everything into creation by the spoken word. So what do we have to offer people? You remember Peter saying, silver and gold I have not, but what I have I give to you. What can you give to the world? We can give the word to the world. Amen. Everyone is this time of year looking for a gift under the tree, but what's the greatest gift that we can give people? We can give people the word. And if you give the word, you're giving them Jesus. How do I know that? John 1:1, in the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. And verse number 14 says, and the word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld the glory of the Father, full of grace and truth. That's for free. That's for free. So he said, I'm not worthy, but only speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Jesus was here testing this man's faith. What is faith? For those of us who have been in the church for a while, you said about Hebrews 11:1, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things unseen. Faith. It takes a lot of faith. You've exercised faith today when you sat in that chair. Amen. You exercised faith. You didn't lift that chair to hold you up or two. But faith became evident because you're not sitting on the floor. You see that? And so we exercise faith. Christians, let me help you out. Christians do not have the exclusive market on faith. Christians do not have the exclusive market on faith. Even the world has faith. Amen. And sometimes your faith is stronger than ours as well. And so we must not discount this man's faith. And so it was also here that faith reached its ultimate. So we see in verse number 9, the centurion says, "For I am a man under authority. I am a man under authority. For I say, having soldiers under me, I say to one, go, and he goes, and to another, come, and he comes, and to my servant, do this, and he does it." This centurion knew what it meant to issue a royal command and have it carried out without question. Amen. Parents. Let me talk to the parents. You say, "Now listen, you tell me, I told my child to do it, and don't question me." And God issues commands, and what do you do? You question, don't you? Don't be questioning God. You sure you made me? But this man, this centurion, he understood because he was under authority, meant he could exercise authority. He was given commands by his superiors, which this man obeyed. And Jesus said this in John chapter 12. I read verse 48. But in John chapter 12, this is what Jesus said. John chapter 12, verse number 49. Jesus says, "For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command which I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment or his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak." And so this centurion, just like Jesus, understood what it meant to follow orders. And then let me repeat that, because he was under authority, meant he could exercise authority. And that suggests to me and to you that every Christian, every person should be under some authority. Every ministry, every person, every individual should be responsible or respond or under the command of somebody else. You have a manager, you have a boss, you have some, all of us should have somebody to whom we are accountable to. So this man said, "Jesus, I understand what it means to be a man of authority." He, the centurion, had some authority, but Jesus has all authority. Matthew 28:18-20, Jesus said himself, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit." And so what does that say? Listen. You may be the manager at your job. You may be the president of whatever company. You may be the chief of whatever. But you may be the chief down here, but you won't be the chief up there. Because Jesus said, "I've got authority," and he outranks everybody in heaven and everybody here on earth. So this man, this centurion humbled himself. The centurion commanded 100 men, but understood that Jesus could command his servant to be healed by the power of his word. I remember many years ago watching an interview with the former British Prime Minister, Margaret Thatcher. You remember Margaret Thatcher? They called her the Iron Lady. She was extraordinary in that she rose to power. She understood how power worked. But she said in the interview about her husband, she was married, believe it or not. And she said, "I am the Prime Minister of the United Kingdom, but in my house, my husband is in charge." And in Richardson, she was the most powerful woman in the UK, but she understood, as she said herself, in her own words, that in my house, my husband is in charge. Huh? What does that say? She had been given authority to rule and to govern in the United States, but God gave her husband authority to be the head of his wife. And then it's just, and we're talking about marriage. And so the centurion spoke in humility. He said, I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy that you should enter or come under my roof or enter my house. In verse 6, then he spoke the voice of faith. There spoke the voice of faith, and Jesus laid it down that faith is the only path forward to the blessings of heaven. If you want God to respond, you've got to exercise faith. Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Sometimes we put more faith in other people and things than we put in Jesus. This man had a situation. He wasn't coming for himself. He wasn't asking for himself. He said, Jesus, I've got a problem. I know that you can fix it. And all you've got to do, you don't have to come. All you've got to do is speak a word, and my servant will be healed. Romans chapter 10 and verse number 17 says, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. You want more faith? Someone says, I want more faith. How do you get more faith? You've got to get more of this. You've got to get more of this in you. Amen. And when you come, I put my confidence not in my position, not my education, not my knowledge, not my wit, but in the God who hears and the God who can do. Jesus marveled at this man's faith. He says in verse number 10, when Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to those who followed, assuredly, I say to you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel. What does Jesus mean by that? You know what the book says, the Bible says, he came to his own, and his own received him not. His own people, the Jews, who he had delivered from Egyptian bondage, who he had delivered from captivity time after time, after time, after time, were the same ones that rejected him. Isn't that interesting? I've not found such great faith. He didn't say faith, he said great faith. In all Israel, Isaiah says in verse 12, but the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. Sorry, verse 11, he said, I say to you, many will come from east and west and sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. That's the folk on the outside. They're going to come. The Jews look forward anxiously to the coming Messiah and Messianic banquet. They would sit down to a great feast, but it never crossed their minds that the Gentiles would sit down there also. Huh? Yet Jesus is saying that many would come from the east and west and sit down at the banquet table, at that banquet table, to the Jews. The extraordinary and shattering thing about this was that the Gentiles, whom they expected to be absolutely shut out, were to be guests at that same Messianic banquet, whom they automatically expected to be welcomed with open arms, were to be shut out into outer darkness. Notice what the Bible says in Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. Malachi, this is an allusion, this is a reference to Malachi chapter 1 and verse 11. That's the last book of the Old Testament. Malachi chapter 1 and verse number 11. The prophet says this, from the rising of the sun, even to its going down, my name shall be great among the Jews. No, the Bible says the Gentiles. That's the folk on the outside. Huh? When was the last time we prayed for the Lord's world? The invisible people, the people that don't look like us, the people that rub us the wrong way, that don't act like us. He said, my name shall be great among the Gentiles. In every place, incense shall be offered to my name and a pure offering, for my name shall be great among the nations, saith the Lord of hosts. Even on the day of Pentecost, when Peter preached the first gospel sermon in Acts chapter 2, after he preached that sermon, it says in verse 37, now when they heard this, when they heard that they had crucified Jesus, the Jews, they were pricked to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. But it's verse number 39 we need to pay attention to. He says, for the promise is to you. Who is the you in the verse? To you Jews. That was the ordinance. And he says, and to your children. That was God's promise to the seed of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And to all who are afar off. Who are they? The Gentiles. Huh? For God so loved the world. And as many as the Lord our God will call. But you say, Brother Smith, that don't say anything about the Gentiles. That don't say anything about the Gentiles. I'm glad you asked that. But where is that in the Bible? I'm glad you asked that. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 and 13. Ephesians chapter 2, verses 11 through 13. God in his infinite wisdom before the foundation of the world says, listen now, verse Ephesians 2, 11 says, therefore, and what is therefore? Therefore, as a result of what I've said before, therefore, Paul says, remember that you once Gentiles in the flesh, who are called uncircumcision by what is called the circumcision made with in the flesh by hands, that at one time you were without Christ, that's your first problem, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, that's your second problem, and strangers from the covenants of promise, that's your third problem, and number four, having no hope, and without God in the world, but listen, verse number 13. Verse number 13, this is one of the two of the most beautiful words of the Bible. It says, but now in Christ Jesus, you who are once afar off, like Peter said in Acts chapter 2, have been brought nigh or near by the blood of Christ. Who are the Gentiles? That's you and me. Any Jews in here? Any Jews? Put your hand up if you're a Jew. Amen. Thank God for his grace and for his mercy. But now in Christ Jesus, you who are far off have been born now by the blood of Christ. Because God saw in his salvation that not only the Jews will be saved, but also the Gentiles. Like this centurion church. So, Romans chapter 1. Verses 16 and 17, Paul said, I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for the power of God to salvation, to the Jew first, and also to the Greeks. For therein the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as is written, the just shall live how? By faith, just like this centurion. Just like this centurion, amen. And so, the tables were to be turned, and their expectations were to be reversed. What's the lesson for us? And what made it possible for this centurion? Faith made it possible. And that opened the door, not their nationality, not the amount of time with Jesus, not even good deeds. Jesus taught that only righteousness in the kingdom of God are the righteous acts of faith. And the fact that this faith was demonstrated by a Gentile and not a Jew shows that this centurion understood the power of the authoritative commands and that Jesus alone had that power. So Jesus spoke a word, the Bible says, And the centurion's servant was healed from a distance. Jesus never set eyes on this man. He never laid a hand on this man. And that shows that God is not limited by distance. Because you remember, when Peter and the rest of the apostles were in that storm, he said, "Peace, be still." And the storm, the storm ceased because God commands all things. He is the one that created the storm, and he can calm the storm. So, church, no matter what situation or circumstance we find ourselves, if we put our confidence not in ourselves and other things, but in Jesus alone, he will show up. He will heal with the word. And the Bible says in verse 13 of our text in Matthew chapter 8, "And his servant was healed that very hour." And this prompted Jesus to express his amazement at the faith of this man, a faith unequal, the Bible says, in Israel. It also shows that Jesus was and is interested in the outcasts of our society. Every city, every town, every village has somebody or somebodies who are invisible. The people we pass by, the begging for money, you know who they are. Perhaps you see them and perhaps so make eye contact with them. And in turning to this Roman and his servant's needs, Jesus saw a marked contrast between his faith and the faith that he had seen in Israel. Don't think for a minute that just because you are a member of the Lord's church that salvation is guaranteed. Amen. How Jesus said in Matthew, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way, and how many will find, and few will find their way there." How many is few? Few is more than two. Amen. So listen, is God interested in numbers? Or is God, and will you be in that number? Is the question. So here's the question. What hang-ups do we have? Do we take for granted that our relationship with God will automatically grant us entrance into the kingdom? Notice what Jesus said, because you're looking like you're interested. Matthew chapter 8. And Jesus says, "Go your way." In verse 12, "For the sons of the kingdom will be cast into outer darkness. There will be weeping and gnashing of teeth." Over and over, Jesus saith that there will be weeping and gnashing. You know, on judgment day, Jesus said in Matthew 7, many will say to me, "Lord, Lord, haven't I done marvelous works in your name? Cast out demons in your name?" And he said, "Depart from me, ye workers of iniquity, for I never knew." That's good. I spent my whole life, Jesus. I prayed the prayers. I ate the Lord's Supper. I did all everything you asked me, Lord. I never knew you. But amen. You remember what we just read in Romans chapter 11, or Romans chapter 1, verse 17. "So the just shall live how? Live by faith, walk by faith, trust by faith, pray by faith, act by faith." Or do we first truly accept that we just like the centurion, are unworthy first? "Lord, I am unworthy." Or do you think that just because you pray, I've got a fast track into heaven? "Lord, I am unworthy." That you're going to have to come. Just speak a word. And based on our hang-ups and standards, will Jesus commend our faith? Or will we go away with the other crowd, the weeping and gnashing of teeth? I want to leave you a psalm. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. Psalm 72, verses 12 through 14. It is here the psalmist says, "For he will deliver the needy when he cries. The poor also
him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and save the souls of the needy. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. This year, God has given each of us time, and God has given each of us opportunity to make a difference in this world. This centurion, this Gentile, he was not interested in his own things. He was interested in somebody who could not help himself. But we're selfish people. You know, who can be grateful? Who can we do for those who cannot do for themselves? Somebody needs Jesus today, whether it be a neighbor, a co-worker, a colleague, maybe your spouse needs to hear from the Lord, and you can make a difference. But what will make the difference? Faith. Faith. Putting my confidence in a God who can do, the Bible says, exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or imagine. But prayer in and of itself can't fix everything. And won't fix everything. I'm going to talk to you about the Apostle Paul. In 2 Corinthians, the Bible says he had a thorn in the flesh, and he prayed to the Lord 3 times for him to take it away. Did the Lord do it? No. He didn't do it. He didn't take it away. But the Lord answered. He said, "My grace is sufficient for thee, for my power is made perfect in thee." It's praying time. Don't wait until December the 31st or New Year's Day to ask God, because he's been waiting on us all year. He's been waiting on you. He's been waiting on me. It's praying time. If you're here this morning and you're not a Christian, you can become a Christian by doing 5 simple things. First of all, you must hear a word of the Lord. That's Romans 10:17. You must believe that Jesus is the only one that can save you from your sins. That's John 3:16. You must repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5. Confess Jesus as Lord, Romans 10:9-10. And be baptized in water. And I'm standing on the baptistry now. Much water for the remission of sins. That's Matthew 28:18-20. Mark 16:15-16. Acts 2:38. Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's the greatest gift. God is still in the gift-giving business. But if you are here today, you recognize that I have fallen short. I need prayer. I need help. No one can help like Jesus can. Nobody can understand like Jesus will. He is simply a prayer. The ward is ready. Amen. The church is ready, but are you ready? Don't leave here without Jesus. And if you leave here without Jesus, you've left here unprepared for a world that will beat you up. You just want to give God thanks. You know, trouble will find all of us. Trouble will find all of us. But Jesus is the solution to every problem. Huh? But only speak a word. All I have to give to you is Jesus. That's all I have. If you need prayer, you just want to give God thanks. If you stand in need of the Lord's invitation, in any of these 2 ways, we invite and encourage you to come as we stand and sit down.